I love to hear babies crying. You know why? Because that means, parents, that you brought them. Before we get into the message this morning, I want us to stop and really have a time of prayer. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed our worship so far this morning. I have felt God in this place. A lot of memories have been brought back, a lot of new acquaintances, new friends being made. But there's a lot of people that wish they could be here this morning that can't. You can see in your bulletin, our prayer list, that it never gets shorter, does it? We need to remember Mr. Bunk Cole. He's, of course, in the hospital. I did see him yesterday. He's got pneumonia in one lung, but certainly we need to remember him. He wishes he could be here today, but certainly he's in the place he needs to be right now to get the care that he needs. We need to remember Miss Cynthia at the back. If that baby doesn't come in the next 48 hours, I think she's heading to the hospital to be induced. So let's keep her and that family in our prayers. Also, I think Jill James is going in for a C-section tomorrow. So let's remember her. Little Sarah Chestnut, as we mentioned, she's been under the weather. We still need to remember that family. I think this morning in prior to Sunday school, Mr. Charlie requested prayer for his daughter Karen. Mr. Charles Carter is going to be having some surgery on Tuesday morning at Raleigh Duke Hospital. Let's remember him. And that family, let's remember Miss Sandra. And that family, Kelly, Rob, and all that family as they still are dealing with the loss of Miss Inez over this last week or so. When you see Sue and Ani, they are proud grandparents again this week. Riley Kendall Donaldson was born on the 2nd. 7 pounds, 15 ounces, is that right? Healthy kid. And so she'll tell you about her if you'll talk to her. But let's certainly continue to lift that family up in our prayers. Just a couple more. I did talk to a lady from Oak Grove just yesterday. Her brother was supposed to go in for surgery, kidney surgery, on Friday. He messed up and took some ibuprofen the night before, apparently, and the kidney surgeon on Friday wouldn't touch him. And so he's had to wait all weekend. He's got to go back in tomorrow for the surgery. And certainly remember him. His name is Shelton Hawley. And his father, Reverend Leon Hawley, over in Anger, about 2 weeks ago, Reverend Hawley's pacemaker started having some problems. He has quite a few health problems, and they told him he was not strong enough to go through another operation. What did he want to do? And he told them to unplug it. And so he made a decision for them to disconnect his pacemaker. Frankly, I believe the doctors didn't think Reverend Hawley would be here more than a couple days. But it's been about 2 weeks. And he's still here. Hospice is coming out, checking with him almost every other day. And he's doing as well as could be expected. But unless there's a miracle, they know it's just a matter of time for this man. And I don't think I've ever met a better Christian man walking the face of this earth. So please keep that family in your prayers. I wonder this morning if you might have an outspoken request you'd like to make known. Yes, ma'am. Yes, absolutely. Any others? Thank you, Mr. G. Any others? Reverend Donald Coates from Kinley, Kinley Free Will Baptist Church. He fought a long battle with cancer, and but he's home now. Any others? I understand. We sure will miss Sue. Yes, Jessica. Any others? Thank you, Mom. Yes. Certainly will. Thank you, Wanda. Any others? Yes. We certainly will. Thank you. Certainly will. Any others? Any unspoken requests just by raising your hand? We all have needs, don't we? Let's join our hearts together as we take all these to our Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, Father, knowing that you're the great physician. Father, you made our bodies. There is absolutely nothing that we could encounter, we could face, Father, that you don't know about. Your word tells us that you even know the number of hairs on our head. So, Father, when we come to you with illnesses and maladies, Father, we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, you have the power to heal. Father, we lay all of these that have been lifted up this morning at your feet. And Father, we ask that you would help us as your Christian people, Father, as your church, Father, to not just hear about these on a Sunday morning, but Father, that we lift these needs up as a body daily before you. Father, we ask that you would let each and every one that has been mentioned this morning, regardless of the need, if healing is required, or Father, if that they're bereaved because of the loss of loved ones, or if they're facing difficult days or surgeries ahead, Lord, we ask, regardless of the need, Lord, that you let them feel that people that care and love them are praying for them right now. Father, we ask that you let them feel your power within their very being. Father, I thank you for a church that believes in the power of prayer. And Father, we bring these to you this morning. We commit them to you. And Father, we look forward to what you're going to do in each and every situation in the days ahead. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 43. And while you're turning, I will tell you, this is the first Sunday that I'm using my new Bible. There's a little story behind that. When I went to Oak Grove, Ginger and Spencer gave me a Bible. And I have used it for the last 10 plus years at Oak Grove, and frankly, it's worn out. And I just decided, you know what? What a nice way for a new beginning than just to go and have a new Bible. So, Powhatan, this is yours. Let's wear it out. How about that? All right. Isaiah chapter 43. I'll be honest with you. I felt led to this scripture, and I really, really hope as we worship around this segment of God's Word over the next few moments, I hope you'll be touched and blessed by this as I have been. Isaiah 43. And by the way, I love to hear the Bibles turning. Bring your Bible. And tonight when you come back, when we're studying Proverbs, bring your Bible. I'm going to make sure in the future weeks that we have everything printed off so you can actually take some notes down on my outlines for that. But I think you'll get a lot out of that. Isaiah chapter 43. And we're going to begin reading in verse 18. Verse 18. And the scripture says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." Now, if you're like me and you believe God's word is as relevant today as it was when it was written, you get a lot out of this passage. Just to give you a little background on this passage, this was written by Isaiah at a pretty bleak time in Israel's history. They had been taken into captivity, and they had really lost everything they had. Everything they thought they would keep forever, they had lost. And they were homesick for the land and the blessings that God had promised them. And God sends this man Isaiah, and Isaiah is writing to them, telling them that God is saying that if he delivered you once from Egypt, he's going to do it again. He also goes on to tell them that what he's getting ready to do now is going to pale in comparison to what they've even seen in the future. I'm afraid sometimes we forget just how awesome God is. We put God in a box. We put limitations on God. We lose sight of the fact that he is able to solve any problem that we have, any valley we go through, any trial we face, any sickness we have, any problem we encounter. My God is big enough. And we forget that sometimes. I think sometimes we do that because we come to points in our life where we put too much emphasis on failures that we've had in the past or successes that we've had in the past. And the reality is, folks, we can't live our life on either one of those. We can't continue to beat ourselves up because of mistakes we've made in the past when God has forgiven us, and we also can't continue to put ourselves on a pedestal for blessings that he's had in the past when we find ourselves in a dry spot. Maybe somewhere in our past, for example, we've tried to serve God and we have failed miserably. We've tried to do what God wanted us to do and it just didn't work out. Somebody hurt our feelings. Somebody said something they shouldn't have said. Maybe we had a bad experience and right now we just don't feel like we've got the strength or the courage to try and serve God effectively again. We've tried to fix the problems in our life ourselves, and we can't, and we just find ourselves frustrated. Let me tell you something, folks. This is Super Bowl Sunday, and my God is a game changer. My God is one that can come in and change things. Let me give you an example. I walked out of our church one Sunday, and I was putting something in the back of our SUV, and this man named Floyd walked over to me. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I almost came down and gave my heart to God this morning." I said, "Well, why didn't you?" He said, "Well, you said that I didn't have to tell you about everything in my past." I said, "No, I don't need to know it because I can't do anything about it. You need to tell it to him. He's the only one that can fix it." He said, "And I almost came down and gave my heart to Christ." I said, "Why didn't you?" He said, "I can't right now. I've got things in my life I've got to clean up. I've messed up things, and I've got to get that right before I ever come to God." I said, "Floyd, you will never do it. You need to come, as the song says, just as you are, and let God do the cleaning up." And you know what? I'm sad to say I could not convince him to do that. We get wrapped up sometimes in the fact that we look in our past and we see mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake, and we think, you know what? God doesn't want me. I disagree, folks. He does want you. My Bible tells me that hell was not created for me and you. It was created for the devil and his angels, not us. It also tells me when I come to him and he cleanses my sins, it says he puts them as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. Folks, that's a God that loves us. That's a God that loves us and wants us to get past our failures in the past. Our past failures should not define us. Maybe in the past we've experienced great success with God. Maybe God has blessed us beyond belief and we've been on that mountaintop, but now we're not. And we chalk it up to the excuse that people aren't the same as they used to be, times aren't the same as they used to be. We just can't get people to do what they used to do. God's never going to bless like He used to in the good old days. Let me tell you something, folks. The God of the good old days, the God of Isaiah, is the God of today. He ain't changed. We have. We have. It's almost like sometimes we get, it's like when you get an ember out of a fire. When you take it out of the fire and you move it away, for a minute it's red hot. But if you don't get it close to that fire quick, sooner or later it cools off till you can even pick it up in your hand, right? I remember years ago when Ginger and I were working with our kids here at the church, we convinced them to go to Craigmont, our Christian camp at Black Mountain. Many of you have been there. And I told them what it was like. I had been there serving as a counselor in years past, and when they got off the bus, after they came back after a week, now I want you to hear this. This is teenagers, folks. You listening to me? When they got off the bus after being gone a week, they were in a place where they were studying about Jesus with no phones, no TV. You hear what I'm saying? Guess where they wanted to come? The very first place they wanted to come when they got off that bus. They looked at me and Ginger. Cynthia's nodding because I think she remembers this. They got off the bus and they looked at us and said, "Mr. Roger, Miss Ginger, can we go to church?" They did too. Saturday afternoon, in the middle of the afternoon, Ginger and I are in here around a piano with a bunch of wild kids that are telling us about songs they learned up in Craigmont. Folks, they were on fire. They were close to the fire. But guess what happened? After a while, off of that mountain, that passion dies a little bit. Not always, but it does a little bit. Folks, we can't let our past successes define us any more than we can let our past failures. Here's the deal. I serve a God, folks, and you can be assured that the God I serve and the one you serve, I hope, is big enough for any problems or circumstances we face. He's the God of our yesterdays and our tomorrows. And if God's not moving in our lives as we feel that He should, I can assure you that the problem's not with Him. The problem is with us. I think God wants to do something great in our lives and in our churches and in this place right here, but we've got to serve Him with anticipation and expectation that He's going to do it. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I don't have time this morning, but God has blessed Powhatan Church, and God has specifically blessed me this week. Just this week. It's absolutely amazing. Couple of things that I want to touch base on as we look at this scripture. We can embrace the changes that God wants to make in our life and in our church, but there's a couple of things we have to do. One thing we have to do is quit looking behind and start looking ahead. Look what he said in verse 18. He said, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." He said, don't dwell on things of the past. Don't sit on successes that we've had in the past in our life or our church, or don't beat ourselves up over failures that we've had. Let God do in our life what He wants to do today. What He wants to do today. If we're constantly looking behind, we can't tell where we're going. Mr. Marvin Johnson from this church, I love that man to death. And I remember he used to say, "You better look up or you'll fall into a hole." I can hear him saying it in the fellowship hall right now. You better look up or you'll fall into a hole. And there's a lot of truth in that. What he was meaning was, you better keep your eyes on God or you're going to fall in a hole. We've got to look forward. The children of Israel had a lot of victories in their past. They had seen God's miracle in coming and with the plagues and parting of the Red Sea leading them out of Egypt. What a victory. While they were in the wilderness, God had fed them with quail and with manna and had led them through that desert day and night. What a miracle. What a victory. When they went up against cities like Jericho, God gave Jericho into their hands. What a great victory. They had even survived a split in their country where Israel and Judah were separated. But now they find themselves in captivity, and all of those prior victories were doing nothing to set them free. They needed something new from God, a new victory. And the question isn't, what has God done? The question is, what's God doing in our lives right now? And what is it that we want Him to do in our lives right now? We can't allow our past failures to possess us. We can't dwell on them. In a lot of cases, Israel, the children of Israel get a bad rap because we look at them in the Bible and we say, how in the world can a group of people that has seen all of these miracles of God turn their backs on Him like the children of Israel did? And before we get too into judging them, I think we need to look in the mirror, folks. Because we are all blessed by God. Amen? Just the fact we're here today and not in a hospital somewhere, we are blessed by God, right? We have all been protected from harm probably many, many times that we didn't even realize. And yet, many times we put God in the corner. We rebel against Him. We put Him to the side. The children of Israel had made some mistakes as well. God had given them everything. He had provided for them. He had fought for them. He had won battles for them. And they turned to idol worship. They looked at God's commandments like they were more suggestions than anything else. They rejected Him in a lot of ways. And just like them, a lot of times we don't really deserve the blessings that God sends our way. But folks, God still loves us. God still loved them, and He was willing to help them change. When you look at the Scripture that we read, look what He says in verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? God wasn't really condemning their past. He didn't agree with it. He didn't agree with them rebelling against Him, but that was in the past. God was holding out His hand and saying, if you'll just take my hand, if you'll just listen to my instruction, if you'll just do what I ask you to do, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you with something new. I'm going to bless you with something that you can see. I'm going to bless you far greater than I've ever blessed you before if you'll just turn your face back toward me. Forget your past, children of Israel. I'm giving you a chance to start over. Over in Isaiah 55, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy on him and to our God, because He will abundantly pardon. I want you to listen to this statement. This is very important. I don't care what age you are here today. Your past does not have to define who you are. Your past does not have to define who you are. Folks, we've all made enough mistakes in our past to go around. Amen? There's a lot of people here today, and I've seen this done. I wish I had a nickel for every time I've seen this done since I got here this morning. I knew him since he was this big. I'm not much bigger than that now, am I? But a lot of you have known me since I was this big, and you know that I was raised in a Christian home. You also know, if you know me well, that I didn't always do everything Mama and Daddy would have been proud of. But you know what? Mom and Daddy banked my life on Proverbs that says, train up a child in the way it should go, And when he's old, he won't depart from it. Folks, there's not a one of us that has to let our past define who we are. We're not going to get anywhere in our life if we can't understand that. And I must move on. The children of Israel had experienced a lot of blessings throughout their history. And they had seen God at work. But now they find themselves in captivity. And the faith that they had in the past in God was really not doing anything to get them out of this situation that they were in right now. They needed a new vision. They needed something that would spark them, something that would move forward. And God is looking at them in this verses through the prophet Isaiah and said, I'm willing to give you that. I'm willing to give you that. The psalmist writes in Psalm 85, Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation, and I will hear what the Lord will speak. Folks, we also need to discover what God has for us. God's got a duty. God's got a job for every single one of us. Every single one of us can do something. The children of Israel had a choice. They could sit in their current situation and they could continue to pine away about the things that had been taken away from them, or they could turn their face toward God, who was looking at them and saying, I'm going to make rivers in the desert. I'm going to make a way through the wilderness. In other words, things that seem impossible, Israel, I'm going to do for you if you'll just turn your face toward me. And if you believe that the Bible is for all people and is as relevant today as it was when it was written, folks, I take that to mean he can do something new in my life and in our church. If we'll just let him. If we'll just let him. We've got to see ourselves as God sees us. Sometimes, folks, do you ever look in the mirror and you look in the mirror and you see, you know what? I don't know how in the world someone would ever give their life for a sinner like me. I don't know how in the world the one who made heaven and earth could love me so much that he sent his only son to die for me. Folks, we're not seeing ourselves as God sees us. God looks at us as his children. God looks at us, the Bible says, when we accept him into our life, we are joint heirs with him. I want you to look at what God calls his people in the scripture we read today. He calls his people my chosen. My chosen. And he also says in verse 21, these people have I formed for myself. Have I formed for myself. God is able to take desert areas of our life, places in our lives where it appears that it's a wilderness that we can't make a way, and God can transform those if we'll let him to, if we'll only let him. God wants to do a new thing in our life. These people have I formed for myself. They will show forth my praise. That's the last verse we read today. Look what he says there. He says that we're his. And that's the way we should carry ourselves, folks. As children of God. As joint heirs with Jesus Christ and the blessings that God has to offer. But there's a second part of that. And he says, and they shall show forth my praise. That's more than just singing songs within praise in this building, although I love my music, you know that. We show God's praise in a lot of different ways. We show God's praise by working in whatever capacity he puts us in his church to accomplish his will. We show his praise by having a desire for this gospel to reach far beyond the walls of this church. We show his praise by loving one another in Christian love and having unity one with another without compromising God's word. Let me ask you something, folks. Are you here today living on past failures? living on past successes. God can show us today that He's the same today and forevermore. He doesn't change, but we have to. We have to really experience all He has in store for us from the time we're born to the time we die. What about it, church? Do you have a vision in your mind of how God wants you to move, how God wants to move in your life, how God wants to move in this place, or are we living on past failures that didn't work or past successes that we think we'll never see again? Folks, I've been a part of this church, aside from the last 12 years or so, all my life. And folks, I've seen God's hand at work in this church. And I know the hour's getting late, but bear with me just a couple more minutes. I remember meeting at this church, praying around this altar for rain when it was dry as a bone. And I remember God hearing and answering that prayer. I remember a lady coming up here to this altar at a revival when I was a little boy that wore very dark glasses because she was very nearly blind. And I remember after getting off this altar, she took one step down that aisle, turned around and pulled those glasses off so that I could see better than I have in years, and she left them laying on the table, folks. I've wondered whatever got those glasses. I'd love to have them in a case right out there to remind us that God moves. There's a little girl in Oak Grove Church that I got a call from her daddy the night she was born. He said, "Roger, Maddie just got here. She's doing okay, but she's tiny. She's 1 pound, 1 ounce, and 11 inches long. Compare that to your granddaughter." Maddie was about 1/7 of that. Folks, she looked like a Barbie doll. Literally the size of a... This paper is 11 inches long. That's how long that child was. I went and saw that child in the neonatal unit down at New Hanover Regional Medical Center. I called Ginger on the way home and I said, "You know what, honey, I know God can do anything, but my faith ain't quite that strong." Let me tell you something. Little Maddie is about 3.5 years old now. And every Sunday morning when Pastor Roger got behind the pulpit, I got this. And I wouldn't take a $100 bill for that, folks, because it reminds me that God can move. I say that to say this. If God can take something as miraculous as a birth and take a child that is that small, that for all accounts should not have made it, and she's okay, she's growing, she's healthy, if God can do that, don't you think God can accomplish in your life and my life and in our church? Don't you think He can get us over any hurdle we encounter? Don't you think He can take us through any valley that we go through? Don't you think He can make us shout on any mountaintop we get to more than we ever have before? He can. But we've got to be willing. If you're here this morning, and you're living in the past, if you're beating yourself up because of mistakes you've made in your past, and we all have them, you need to ask God's forgiveness. But here's the good thing, folks. Don't beat yourself up about them. And it doesn't matter what the mistakes are, you fill in the blank. You're here today. You're in church. You're in the right place. You're one move away from those sins being white as snow and washed away. But you got to make the decision to do that. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. I felt God in this place today, and I hope you have as well. I pray that God will touch all of our hearts this morning in a mighty way and move us to action. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for these words of the prophet Isaiah, Lord, that you had, as you told the children of Israel, Lord, that you would do a new work, Father, that you would perform a new work in their life that wouldn't even compare, Lord, to what you had done before. Father, I believe you can do the same for us today, not just for our lives, Lord, but for our church. Father, now as we have our time of invitation, Lord, this time of commitment is yours. Father, I pray that you would touch each and every heart here this morning. Father, help us to be still and able to hear, Father, the moving of the Holy Spirit in this place this morning. Help us, more importantly, Father, to be obedient as our lives are touched. This time is yours, and have your way. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen.